What letters are boner noises on that again?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a geeky boner episode. We're talking about traveling, comic books, video games, so, you know, some stereotypical nerd shit.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks Without God, and this week... Ah, that's right. It's another Geeky Boners episode. If you're new to the podcast, maybe you haven't heard of a Geeky Boners episode before, it is an episode we do periodically where we all talk about the nerdy things in our lives that have us excited, turgid.
In a slightly dirty fashion.
Throbbing and, with nerdy pleasure.
Yeah. Tim?
Oh, God, I'm going first.
What's got you turnt?
Well, you know, I might as well, because I'm going to be leaving on a trip in just a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to Europe. We're going to Portugal, Spain, and Italia. We're taking a transatlantic cruise and then a Mediterranean cruise.
Just you and Pat?
No. So it was originally, this is a long story, but I'll shorten it down. Originally, the transatlantic cruise was me and Pat, and then we got my mom to come with, which, as you might know from listening to an episode a couple of weeks ago, she's not coming anymore.
Yeah,
she's not.
Yeah.
She's busy
somewhere else.
Her ashes are coming. Yeah. Her ashes are coming.
Oh, good.
A little bit.
That's fun.
And not all of it's coming home.
Yeah, so, that's great.
Yeah. But anyway, so then my brother... David decided that since mom was going on this cruise, he would go as well.
Sure.
So he was rooming with mom. He was very excited that he got to spend all this time with his mom because he didn't think how often he'd have that opportunity anymore. Yeah. Turned out, but anyway, he was going to go on the transatlantic part. And then once we get to Barcelona, we go on a second cruise on the same ship. So it's a back-to-back, and then that's going in the Mediterranean.
Back-to-back ships, boys.
Yeah, back-to-back ship, boys. So then David was getting off the ship, and Alex and Devin are getting onto the ship. So they're meeting us in Barcelona, and then we're doing the Barcelona leg, and then we're getting off the ship, and we're spending 3 days in Barcelona before we come home. So originally, and Pat and I are going to Disney World for a couple of days ahead of time because we have an annual pass that expires on our anniversary, which is like 3 days after the ship leaves the port. So we're like, what the hell? We've got a couple of days left on this annual pass. Let's use them. So that's just Pat and I.
And the port is, the ship leaves port in from Florida, right?
Yeah, like, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, so you're already in Florida.
Yeah, we're already in Florida. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. And Fort Lauderdale is a shithole. Nobody wants to spend time there. So we're going to Orlando, which is also a shithole.
Fuck you, Fort Lauderdale.
You know what? Fuck you, Florida. All of you, top to bottom.
Yeah, really, fuck you, Florida. But anyway, so David's joining us when we get on the ship, and he decided now he's going to actually stay on the ship for the Mediterranean bit. So it's going to be... me and Pat and David on the transatlantic, then me and Pat and David plus Alex and Devin for the Mediterranean bit, and then David's actually going to fly home pretty much right away. Huh. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us are staying in Barcelona for 3 days. So pretty exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff. We get to go to Lisbon in Portugal. Never been there. Never been to anywhere in Spain. Pat and I have been to Italy.
Do any of you speak Spanish?
David does.
Okay.
David speaks everything. Not quite, but he speaks, he's fluent in French. He's fluent in German. He speaks enough Spanish to get by. He speaks Hungarian, a little bit of Chinese. Anyway, my brother speaks a lot of languages.
Yeah. So, polyglot.
So he's going to be handy to have around. He does not speak Portuguese, but Portuguese is a romance language, and he already speaks several romance languages.
Let me tell you, as somebody who speaks Spanish, don't assume you can speak Portuguese because it's very different.
No, but what he said is he doesn't speak Italian, but when he goes to Italy and he speaks French and they speak Italian, they get along pretty well.
Yeah, it's more similar there. Yeah.
So anyway.
If you speak French And Spanish, Portuguese might be even easier yet.
I would say it's almost harder because think you know what the words mean, but they don't.
Well, so if you're going on a cruise soon, anyone out there, and you see Tim Wick, cover your drink because he's got ashes with him and he's not going home with all of them.
You don't know when I'm going to sprinkle them.
That's right.
And they could end up in your food.
His mom loved a good prank.
Someone's going to be like, he put something in your drink and it's not... It's
what
not
you think?
GHB.
It's not what you think.
Nope.
You know, we've talked about, and so part of this boner is, you know, mom was going to go on this trip, which is a bummer that she's not going to go there. But we're trying to figure out how to like kind of do things that honor her.
Mm-hmm.
She loved It's a Small World.
Oh.
She loved it. And one of the reasons we convinced her to go on the trip is because the theme for the Mediterranean cruise is It's a Small World.
Oh, okay.
And we're like, oh, mom, look, you know, because she was waffling. And we're like, look, the theme is It's a Small World. You have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's well known that people try to sprinkle ashes of their dead loved ones in the Haunted
on
Mansion.
On various Disney rides.
Yeah.
Like multiple Disney rides.
But the Haunted Mansion is like the most common. Yeah.
And the Small World, I heard, is like number two.
Really?
Yes. Well,
and they will catch you.
And
they will kick you
out forever. Like,
yeah.
It's a big deal.
Because well, it's human remains. It's like, technically hazardous waste.
Yeah. Oh, you're like banned for life.
So
like,
if they catch you sprinkling your loved one's ashes in the Haunted Mansion, they've got to shut it down and sanitize it.
They call the cops. It's a whole fucking thing.
So Pat's,
they have a code for it.
Pat's like, we need to figure out how to. I mean, she's joking, but she's like, we need to figure out how to sneak some ashes into the water on It's a Small World, because that was Kathy's favorite. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that because I'm not going to get kicked out of Disney World for life because my mom died.
Yeah,
that's just the worst plan ever.
That would be like. What are the two things that Tim loves? Your mom and Disney World.
And I
both
could ruin
get
them
taken
both.
Away from you
I could
in
ruin
the
them
same...
both.
No.
But I think it's going to be okay to sprinkle some ashes off the ship.
Oh, yeah. Off the cruise ship?
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's going to be able to fucking see that.
The ocean isn't going to give a fuck.
Yeah. No, the ocean doesn't care. But the trick is, like, we've got a balcony room, so you could theoretically sprinkle it off the balcony, except there are balconies below yours. So if the wind's blowing the wrong way, the
can
ashes...
you smoke on the ship? Are you allowed to smoke cigarettes
like
on your balcony?
There's like a couple of smoking areas, but not the balconies.
So I was thinking, like, if you're already allowed to smoke on your balconies, then people would just assume it was like cigarette ash.
Well, I've got it figured out, though, because they've got a promenade deck, which is deck four, where it's got like a walking path around the entire ship.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no balconies below that. So as long as you go out like late at night when nobody can see you, then nobody's going to get angry at you for sprinkling.
Have them
ashes.
In your... Well, this is... I've given a lot of thought to how I would make this happen if I needed. For real,
right.
If I needed to. And I think the mistake everybody makes is that they're grossed out by the ashes, but they don't want to admit that. So they have the ashes in some sort of receptacle, and they're going from receptacle to where they want to drop them.
Sure.
And that's obvious. What you need to do is you need to palm some of the, you just need to have like a little golf ball size, holding them in your hand, ashes that you can then just casually... and release. And that would work in Disney World too. I genuinely think if you
Pat
just
thinks,
loosely
you
held them in your hand.
Yeah. Pat thinks you just put your finger in the ashes and get a little under your nail and then let your hand
trail in the water. A little bit in your hand that you just kind of, or have it in your pocket. The problem is people are grossed out by the idea of having human remains on them and they don't want to touch them.
Yeah.
And so
because they're hazardous waste and they're going to have to sanitize the entire
small
world.
And so then
world.
They end up being like, oh, I've got them in a little baggie. No one will notice. It's like, of course they fucking will.
Of course they will.
It's the most obvious thing. I'm dumping a baggie into this like water. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm very excited about this. I'm really looking forward to the time with my brother. David doesn't live in Minnesota. He lives in California. Mm-hmm. So until the last month, we don't spend a lot of time around each other.
Right?
Yeah.
So like we have plans to go walking in the mornings on the promenade. And,
nice.
And we both love to just like go into a city in Europe. Most of the stops are like, well, we could do a shore excursion, but why not just get off the boat and walk places?
That's all I ever want to do. I don't want to do a big trip with everybody from the fucking boat. The last people I want to see, I've only been on a cruise one time, and I was like, I don't want to be anywhere near the people on this boat for like an hour.
Yeah, like the stop in Rome, what we did is, because it's actually in Civitavecchia, which, because Rome is in the middle of Italy, but the port stop is Civitavecchia. You got to take about an hour and a half bus ride to get to Rome.
Sure.
So the excursion that we're taking is the... do Rome on your own. Hmm. So you get the bus ride to Rome, and then you get 6 hours in Rome, and then you come back. And Pat and I have spent a week in Rome back for our 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Well, David's never been to Rome.
Well, fun.
So this is one of the places in Europe that we can be like, all right, we got 6 hours. We are going to show you Rome.
Yeah, yeah. Fun. That'll be
so,
fun.
So very, very excited about that. And the kids, I don't know if they care about Rome at all, but they're going to enjoy the shit out of Rome.
And by the kids, you mean the adult men.
The adult men that are my children.
With you.
Yeah. And the best thing about Europe, by the way, to everybody out there, the best thing about Europe is the gelato.
Oh, well.
Gelato in America is not the same. I know that sounds weird, but Pat and I ate literally our first meal of the day every day in Rome was gelato. We did not eat lunch. We just got gelato. And we came back to America and we're like, oh, look, there's a gelato place. And we just ate it and we're like, fucking A, man. America ruins everything.
This is ice cream.
this isn't even good ice cream. This is just, what is this?
Frozen
it's
yogurt.
So depressing. So
that's
depressing.
Exciting. I'm excited for you. That's going to be a really fun trip.
It is. So yeah, I'm going to have a boner for almost all of May.
Go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Apparently the code at Haunted Mansion for a cleanup of human remains is HEPA cleanup.
Oh.
Because they have special vacuums that have HEPA filters on them for.
I always thought it was like a code black, or there was some code name or something.
The other rides that were mentioned in this were just the gardens in general.
Mm-hmm.
The Dumbo ride, and
who would not see you sprinkling ashes off the Dumbo ride,
and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I always heard Pirates of the Caribbean, It's a Small World, and Haunted Mansion because those are the ones that are in the dark.
Yeah,
and
I assume Pirates of the Caribbean and It's a Small World. You're in a boat, so you can.
Yep, so you think you can get it in the water. Yeah. Really easy.
There's at least one video online of someone seeing someone else in a Doom buggy sprinkling something off of their ride.
Sure.
I would say nothing.
People,
I would say nothing.
I wouldn't either,
but I'd also be like, they're going to get caught.
Uh-huh.
There's cameras every two inches in this fucking place.
And it's against the law.
Well, if you're going to, that's the thing is it's actually also against the law to dump them in the ocean,
sure.
to take them and bury them under a tree in a park or all the things people do. Almost all of them are against the law.
And yet cemeteries are legal.
Because you paid for those, Nick.
Yeah.
Capitalism. Yeah. You bought, that's land you own in the cemetery.
I'm putting some of my mom's ashes in the Grand Prismatic Spring in Yellowstone. There's nothing anybody can do to stop
it. I just think it's super funny to me that how precious people get about it. I always think about the story Jen Kowitz told us about they took their mom to the ocean.
Oh, and they had one of those biodegradable pod things, right?
No, it was just extremely windy and they kept trying to throw her in and the wind and she kept bobbing back.
It's like
too.
The Big Lebowski.
Was it a pod?
I thought there was like
a bio. It just kept coming back. Yep. I remember that. They couldn't get it out to the waves.
The waves
and like,
kept bringing it back and they're like, no, go, be free.
You see people who leave the ashes for too long and then they turn into cement.
Uh-huh.
And now you can't do anything with them. You can't get them out of the urn. You
put them in a coffee grinder.
I have a friend who when his mom died, she wanted to travel down the Mississippi. So what they did was they froze her ashes in a block of ice.
Perfect.
And dropped it off a bridge.
Perfect.
And it's just that's so great. I thought that was beautiful.
I just saw someone's video today where she's like, my dad always told me not to waste my time crying over boys. So I turned his ashes into an hourglass. And it's just an hourglass and just very, very cute.
I love that.
Yeah.
There's something very... good, you know, mortal about the hourglass too. It's something death carries
absolutely.
All the time, and yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, Molly.
Yes.
Hey, what's your boner?
Ooh, I have a very divine boner.
Divine.
It's also a little wicked.
It's a holy boner.
It is. It's a graphic boner.
Oh.
I am rereading The Wicked and the Divine, a comic series.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, thank you. A comic series by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. It's amazing. It's one of the most innovative stories I'd ever encountered. And I realized about a week ago, one of my friends at work mentioned it. And I was like, oh, I fucking love that comic. God, I haven't read it in forever. I honestly don't even remember other than like the broad strokes. Right. So I was like, I'll go reread it. So the broad strokes are this. every 90 years, some of the gods, and it can be a lot of different kinds of gods from all kinds of cultures, are reborn into humans who are called the Pantheon. There are always 12 of them, except for sometimes there's more, as in this story, but there's 12 of them. And when they, it comes upon them almost, it's usually when they're teenagers, like 17, 18 years old, and it happens like almost getting mutant powers. Like all of a sudden day, it's like, and it's like, you are of the you are of the Pantheon. You will be loved. You will be hated. You will be adored. You will die in 2 years.
You're Thor.
Yep, you're Thor. You're Baal. You're Sakhmet. You're Persephone. You're the Morrigan. And it just, and they all, and you never know which gods you're going to get. And it's every 90 years. And so this happens.
And they're not all the same Pantheon.
They're not all the same. Yeah, they're not all from the same culture. They're from whatever just happens to be reborn into the people. And then they are all also pop stars. They give concerts and performances. They do. They are adored. Like, they have followers and almost to the level of cultists. And the deal is they're going to die in 2 years. And then 90 years later, it'll happen again. And so that's the broad strokes of the story.
And it's been happening forever.
Our hero is a girl named Laura Wilson, who is just obsessed with the Pantheon as a teenager, and she wants to be one of them so, so bad. And she actually befriends the girl who is Lucifer, and then kind of gets introduced to some other people from the Pantheon in that way. And the story takes off from there, and it's so good. Fucked up shit happens. It's a violent comic. There's conspiracy. There's a lot of, is it real?
Yeah.
They have actual powers, like visible provable powers. So it's not like, are they all just crazy? Like, it is very obviously actually real magic, but it's very cool.
The art is amazing. I mean, McKelvey and Kieran Gillen are a great pair. They've done a lot of things together. They did Journey into Mystery together, the Loki comic that basically remodernized Loki. That's where Kid Loki comes from. And that was like Sandman to me.
Mm-hmm.
The Wicked and the Divine feels like kind of like a Neil Gaiman comic.
Definitely, it's got that Gaiman-esque feel to it.
That something about like the mythology in a modern setting that's captured in that way and told that way just feels very Gaiman. Mm-hmm. Whether that's American Gods
when did it come out?
Like 2016? Not that long ago.
Almost 10 years ago. 2014
is when it started.
Almost 10 years ago. Yeah. 10 years ago. But
2014
still.
To 2019. 51 issues. It's great. It's the art is really cool. They also did some really interesting things. Like there's an issue, like a comic issue, but one issue is done like Vogue magazine, where it is articles about five of the gods. It's like,
a photo shoot.
Like our reporter, whoever, sat down with Lucifer and talked all about what it's like to be a god, or like, we were granted exclusive access into Woden's, Valhalla and learned about the techno gods, like obsessions. And so it's not comics. It is just like an article. Yeah. It's just words with a couple of pictures and like the big pull quotes, in a larger font and the whole thing. Like they talk about like, my editor sent me here and it's written like a Vanity Fair or a Vogue piece. It's very cool. It's been really cool to revisit it. I've been I talked about rewatching Lost, and I'm kind of revisiting a lot of this media that I really love that I don't necessarily exactly remember how it happens or how everything shakes out, because I realize that like I reread books all the time reread books, but I don't rewatch movies and TV very often. I know a lot of people are like, I've seen that movie 30 times. I don't have anything like that since I became an adult. Like
how many times have you read Gunslinger?
The whole way through, or just the first book?
The first book
probably about 25 times.
Yeah, okay.
But like, you know, I mean, I saw Aladdin 12 times. I saw The Little Mermaid 12 times or something like that. But like, you know, that hasn't been something I do as an adult. But with books, I do it all the time. So I was like, maybe this is something I can do with, you know, TV and some other comics and stuff that I really like. So it's been really cool. I highly recommend picking it up, The Wicked and the Divine. It's a very cool conversation about what is religion, what it is to be a fan, which comes from fanatic, like what it is to be famous, what it is to know you're going to die young, and how does that color the way that you live your life, and all of it. And it's also like a really cool supernatural mystery with everything else. It, I'm sure you can find it at the library.
The specials that came out, I think they did like six, it's like 45 issues and six special issues, I think. And the special issues are somewhat self-contained, and it's like, I think three of them are from Lucifer's perspective, but from a previous incarnation. So in like 1923 and 1850 or whatever, and then like one of them's all the way back to
like the start of time.
To 455 or something.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
Is it a self-contained story where they like knew when they were going to end it?
Yes. He went in with a plan.
That's good. That's always nice.
Yeah, it's really great.
Their follow-up to Wicked and Divine, that team was Die.
Yes.
Which is it's the D&D cartoon plot, Tim. These kids are playing D&D and they get sucked into the universe. And then they escape as adults after being gone for decades, and one of them didn't come back, and they are haunted by what happened there.
It's very good.
It's fucking great. And he released rules on how to play Die as an actual role-playing game.
Jamie McKelvey is a fun follow on Blue Sky, if you want. He's a very fun and cool guy who is also very interactive with his fans and followers, which is nice. So
Kieran Gillen had such a good podcast for a while that about comic creation and about the process, and it only did like 10 episodes.
Gillen, which sounds a lot like Karen Gillen.
It does, yeah.
And they are two different people.
Nebula.
Kieran.
It's good stuff.
Nick, what about you, Nick?
Yeah, Nick, I need to, you know me, I love to see your boner, but I think Tim needs to see it.
Yeah,
well,
please.
Let me tell you about my boner.
Before he goes on vacation.
Yeah, I want something to remember you by, Nick.
He needs to be inspired.
A few facts about my boner.
Yeah.
It sticks to the walls.
Oh.
It fights crime.
Oh my goodness.
And it shoots out sticky stuff. And goes flip, flip, flip.
I feel like I know what your boner is.
I think Tim loves your boner.
Your boner's great.
It's like his favorite.
With my boner comes great responsibility. I just finished a playthrough of Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation 5.
Which is a gorgeous game to watch.
The first Spider-Man is why I bought a PlayStation 4. I played the Miles Morales sequel, which is kind of like a DLC so big that they made it a second game. And then, so Spider-Man 2 is technically the third game. You switch back and forth between Peter and Miles quite a bit. They have overlapping but different skill sets. And I really, really enjoy the story of these games, because everyone is very true to their characters, but the story is different. In this game, Harry Osborn is who has the Venom symbiote.
Symbiote.
His mother died of a genetic illness that he also has. His father, Norman Osborn, is trying to use all of his science and research to save his son. And the experimental treatment that he and Dr. Connors, the lizard, come up with involves...
We all know who Dr. Connors
involves,
is.
Involves something that they fell from the stars. It's the Venom
bad.
Suit.
That's bad. Don't use it.
Yeah. And so for about half the game, you are Peter Parker with the Venom suit in black, slowly getting, you know, more aggressive.
Like you're starting to turn more emo.
And then you dance down the street wearing all black. Yeah. Shove some people. The big villain for most of the game is actually Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, Kraven the Hunter.
And the goons you fight in the game for most of the game are his hunters, his, you know, minions or whatever. He's he shows up in New York and just like kidnaps, he jailbreaks all the supervillains to hunt
it's a
them.
Classic Spider-Man plot.
To hunt them.
Oh, to hunt them.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. He's gonna hunt them.
Yeah, he triggers Dr. Connors' lizard, you know, genes and makes them worse.
Wow. Kraven, come on, them. Man.
He makes them button fly.
Poor Dr. Connors. Hasn't he been through enough?
He's got to die in combat, Tim, and he's dying and he needs to be killed by a worthy foe.
He doesn't
want to
die of cancer like a boring old regular guy.
Poor Kraven.
But the game's, you know, Spider-Man has some super funny quips. There's the game had me cracking up a few times.
Miles. Okay. So I've been watching him play a good bit. Miles has a friend, who is deaf. And so she texts him all the time. And she also can do, she has like a relay when she wants to if he's on the phone while he's jumping around in his suit. Right. Yeah, and then you see her sign to him too. Sometimes
she has a text to voice.
Sure.
So everything she texts him is read out loud to him as he's swinging around because he can't read texts while he's swinging. That'd be irresponsible.
Good for Spider-Man.
But her voice is, you know, like a text to voice robot-y kind of voice. But, and then she signs.
But when they're
sign
in
language,
person,
is great.
She is doing ASL and he is doing. What's the ASL where you...
SEE, signed exact English.
So
like he's
signing back, but he's signing back with English syntax and grammar.
Like he's signing the exact words as opposed to ASL grammar is different.
Yeah.
We talked about during Echo.
And Genki is his sidekick, you know, tech guy in the chair, like Ned is in the movies. Peter has Mary Jane, and at the end of one of the previous games, Aunt May dies.
Oh, God
dang
it.
And that is the big with great power comes great responsibility thing, really, for him, more like in the movies.
Like in
the newer ones,
No Way Home?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. And so...
they always have someone who dies. That's the whole point.
There's,
you have to have that to be Spider-Man.
There are a couple of neat little ties to Spider-Verse. There's a lot of, it's because it's an open world game. You're swinging through New York City, which is very, very fun and feels very natural. You could just swing through the city fighting crime for hours.
Just like Spider-Man. Spider-Man swings through the city fighting crime for hours.
And just like Spider-Man, you'll be on your way to go do a mission type thing. And then you'll get notified of a crime nearby. And it's like, man, I really got to go stop that burglary, don't I?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I gotta sidetrack. Uh-huh. I gotta go get those.
More great responsibility. Yep. Motherfucker.
But because it's an open world game, there's a lot of collectibles. And one of the things you're collecting are these little spider bots that look like they're designed not like our Spider-Man or even Miles Morales' Spider-Man. They're designed like there's a Spider-Gwen. Spider-Bot.
Mm.
There's like drones, kind of. There's a Spider-Man Noir Spider-Bot.
Sure.
There's a whole bunch of them. And they're using the same signals that he and his Spider-Bots use. And once you collect them all, one of those, is it like the hexagon portal with the red trim that's in Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Oh,
One of those opens to like claim them from you and take them. And
you sons of bitches.
Fun. So there's like a connection to the Spider-Verse stuff, which is very fun. I would say that this game really goes out of its way to be have a lot of very intersectional ally messages.
The game's woke.
The game is woke.
The game is
super woke.
Someone made Spider-Man woke.
Get me woke pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah. But there's a lot in the game, whether it's representation or the actual stories that they're telling. Miles has a whole B plot where someone is stealing from a bunch of historical instruments from like the Harlem Jazz Museum or the Harlem Music Museum. And the things you're recovering are actual artifacts that belong to actual musicians from Harlem. And it turns out that the guy that's stealing them is a white guy. And his father was a producer who produced some of those musics, and he feels entitled to them. And Miles is very much like, these are our things.
Classic
and this is our stuff from, you know, this is ours, not yours. You can't just take it.
Yeah.
And they're not subtle about a lot of this stuff, but it's entertaining, and it doesn't feel like I'm getting, you know, beaten over the head with it, but it does seem simplified in a way that is digestible in a game and, you know, kid friendly.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Spider-Man does though. Like, well, yeah, simplified, I mean, morals that are easy to digest, and it's pretty, you know, kinda. It's a pretty, he doesn't really, you know, I know a lot of Marvel deals with the gray areas more than DC does, but like Spider-Man has always been pretty clearly, you know, black and white in terms of, you know, right and wrong. It's you know, there's not a lot of, you know, except for when you get into like Civil War and stuff, right?
But even then, I mean, Peter Parker is always trying to do the right thing, no matter what.
It's kind of his whole bag.
Mm-hmm. It's his bag.
Yep.
Great power, great responsibility. It's right there in the thing that he always says.
There's a lot of fun mechanics, like when you're fighting the Venom symbiote and his little venomy henchman later in the game, where you're like punching cars and things like that to set off car alarms because the loud sounds are harmful to Venom. Or like, you know, there's a big bell and you have to like swing your webs at it and then pull the bell to make it ring to weaken him so he can wail on him a little bit. And I think they've got it set up so the next game will be like Green Goblin. Like they're
Harry they're as the Green Goblin.
Norman.
Like, do you think Harry's going to die?
Norman's usually first.
Harry's the Hobgoblin. He's Green Goblin. Hobgoblin. Someone else.
Hobgoblin.
Yeah. No. But yeah. Harry takes over. Yeah. Takes over as the Green Goblin when Norman dies.
And then Norman.
And then Norman comes back to life because it's comics and they can't stay dead.
And I like that they're taking their time building up to that. And like Norman is like a big, Norman and Harry are a big part of Peter's life in the game so far. So this build up to him being the Green Goblin actually feels really meaningful and really like a big thing that'll happen. Much in the same way that in the first game, Otto Octavius is your mentor and you're an intern in his lab and you're doing science with him. And he, you know, goes nuts when he tries to do this arm thing and you have to stop him. And he's one of the people who knows Peter's secret identity in these games, but he's safely in prison this whole time. And
is he safely in prison?
Well,
who can say?
Yeah.
Who can say?
They're great games. If I had any complaints about the second one, I'd say that it's kind of a lot of more of the same. But the same is really good, so it's hard to complain about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like watching the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's more of the same.
Yeah.
It's still the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but there's more of it.
Yeah. I really like the stealth stuff. They added a neat thing where you can make a web, like a line connecting two spots, like a tightrope.
Sure.
So you can like connect two things and then tightrope across and then from above like shoot webs at a guy and like yank him up in the air and tie him up on your little tightrope.
And then hang him over a police car, which is what Spider-Man does. So that
if you do it nice and sneaky when no one's watching, you can slowly pick guys off one at a time and kind of like, I like think of Spider-Man pretending he's Batman when he's doing it.
I was just thinking that sounds a lot like the Arkham Asylum games when you could like whip the rope around the dude's feet and whip him up into the air and they're like, ah, it's, help.
It's,
and you're like,
it's very similar to the Arkham games in that way. Yeah. So that's my boner.
It's very versatile.
It's a good boner.
And its senses are tingling. If there's something nerdy out there that you all, our listeners, are excited about, let us know. What's turning your nerd crank? What's got you going? We want to know the nerdy stuff out there because we need more geeky stuff in our life and you know, we don't know about everything.
It's true.
Boner alert.
Otherwise.
That's Rihanna.
It is. And she's talking about Andy Samberg.
And she's on our show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
So
Rihanna.
Hashtag I don't know why blessed. We didn't have her on for the whole
she's
episode,
so nice.
But she's busy.
Yeah.
She's busy.
She could just make it for that one cameo. But otherwise, you know, you can drop us a couple bucks on Patreon if you want to support the cause. The cause being our hosting bills. And we'll be back next week on Tuesday with a more geeky godless fun.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye.
Tim's gonna be gone for a month. We can do whatever we want.
Anarchy!
I'm still here.
Oh man.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept accepted by its superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
geeks without God.
The week I get back is Siouxland Renaissance Festival.